So four people are preaching tonight? Five?
Travis, Doug, Josh, Caleb, and Thomas.
Man, I clicked on it and it wouldn't open up, so I kept clicking it and four popped up. No, it'd be great if it was. But I'm only going to put it all in one. Because I can't. Just keep on.
I don't know how you're going to do that, man.
I can do a short description.
How you going to split them up, though?
I can't. I'll have to do the whole video and just in the description.
What you can do is...
I mean, not the description. Normally, whenever, if I write a title to a sermon and it's too long, it'll say, add more, so I can just add each sermon title in. But you can only add two verses.
I wouldn't know how to do this.
What if I did in the description? I did all the...
Yeah.
But what about this? I still put some words.
Well, you can put the description, all of it in there. Like Josh Barr, Jeremiah 33:3, Thomas Hawkins, the scripture, and the title.
What about the speaker? Because I think you have to do it.
Put the pastor. And as a title sermon?
Do special service.
Don't start this until they come out and kind of knowing that they're going to start the service, because I don't know how long they're going to be. It's already 2 o'clock.
Thank you. I have a pin. You may use the pin.
Yes.
Wait, so you don't even have a sermon ready?
No, I do. I just had a look at that.
Celebrate the pastor. as you are. Amen? So please help. I don't want no amens. Hey, listen, I got a bumping pit with y'all. I made the announcement, said, hey, let's do a 2 o'clock service, and man, y'all about come undone. I ain't never heard so much loud hollering amens. Listen, when people preach, we need just as much enthusiasm. Amen? So, my goodness. Anyway, continuing on. Fall Festival, October 31st. You help us out with that. A lot of people, man, we've got so much candy in this freeze office. We thank all those who have donated towards that. If you can help us out by doing a game or signing up for the chili cook-off and whatnot, please help us out. That would be wonderful. And then the Closer Walk Sunday School Class Party, that's going to be at 5 o'clock on November 7th at the Hawkins House. If you need directions, you just ask them. They'll help you out. Don't forget Miss Bree's baby shower. That's going to be at the 14th of November, 11 o'clock here at the church. Is that right? It's going to be here. Amen? Just ladies, y'all help me out. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. All right. All right. Well, Chad, you should come lead us to the song.
Thank you. Thank you.
got an all-star lineup this afternoon. We got five preachers that's going to preach. Now, before you grieve the Spirit, all right, they got 5 minutes each. But I did tell them, I'm not going to blow up. Listen, you tell me, they'd blow a horn whistle. If you went over 5 minutes, you wasn't right with the Lord. I said, I ain't going to be like that, but just do the best you can for 5 minutes. Amen? So we got five of them. Brother Josh, I'm going to let you kick us off tonight. Amen? Amen. And I'll encourage him while he preaches.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Given enough for you.
come. Amen. Don't listen. A bird can't even feed itself. The Lord tells him to go feed somebody else. I'm thankful we serve a God that will supply our needs. Amen. Brother Thomas, you ready? Brother Thomas, you're used to preaching short in the prisons. Amen. You just got to take what they give you. Amen. Brother Thomas, I appreciate you.
Verse here, and just make a couple applications and points again. Thank y'all. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be here today, and thank the Lord for all He's done in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. And I use this verse often when I present ministry because I believe it does well to describe an inmate and what we're doing in our ministry and who we're trying to reach. But I want to focus especially on the latter few words of this verse. The Bible says here, "Now we exhort you, brethren," the Apostle Paul is encouraging them or instructing them to do a few things here. Notice he says here, "Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak." And notice this last part, "Be patient toward all men." And this afternoon I'd like to preach a quick message entitled, "Constant in Pursuit." Constant in Pursuit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given me today. I pray you'd fill me with your spirit to ease these nerves today. Lord, help me not so much to watch the clock, but be sensitive to you. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. That term, "be patient toward all men," or the phrase "be patient toward all men," the term "patient" simply means constant in pursuit. And I think sometimes in our lives we need to realize that there are some things that you and me as believers ought to be pursuing. Let me say number one quickly this afternoon that number one, we as believers ought to be pursuing sinners. Sinners. We ought to be seeking after the souls that God had put in front of us to win to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just this last week, I'm not bragging on myself, but the Lord allowed me two opportunities to pursue sinners. You say, what do you mean by pursue sinners? Well, I noticed my neighbor across the way was a lost man. He does not attend church. He doesn't know Christ as Savior. I've had a few conversations with him about the Lord, but he's been very cold in those conversations. Well, I noticed my neighbor going to the mailbox. So you know what I did? I was constant in pursuit. I walked across the road. I started up a conversation with him. And the conversation did not go in the direction I wanted it to. But I did get this in the conversation. It is appointed unto man once to die. Then on Wednesday night, we were coming to church. And I noticed across the way on Wednesday night, there was a gentleman there at the Chick-fil-A that had one of those signs up. Homeless needs help. So I was able to get my Chick-fil-A and go through the drive-thru and then go to the Burger King parking lot. And you know what I did? I pursued that individual by the name of William and was able to witness to him for a few minutes. And so I think quickly this afternoon, we as believers ought to be constant in our pursuit for sinners. I don't know who the Lord's going to put in your path this week. I don't know who the Lord's going to put in my path this week. But we ought to pursue those sinners that God allows us to cross paths with. Secondly, we ought to be constant in pursuit of strays. Of strays. You say, what are you talking about? Well, many of you know my daughter Vivian has gotten a dog named Betty White. And I tell you, I never imagined in a million years of us having a dog, but we have a dog now. But if that dog was ever to stray, guess what Daddy would do? He would constantly pursue that dog and do his best to find it. I think about many times in the Christian life, in the life of the church, there are those that go astray, and we fail to pursue them. We fail to seek those men out. I think about the Lord. What did He do? He left on 99 and went after the one. I think about how that we need to realize that there are those that have fallen away. There are those prodigal sons and those prodigal daughters and those people who have messed up their lives or made mistakes who used to be faithful to the house of God and things of God. And we as believers, we as Christians, we ought to care about them, not forget about them, and pursue those strays. And then let me say thirdly this afternoon, we ought to be constant in pursuit of the Savior. Constant in pursuit of the Savior. Understand this, God opens our heart. God seeks us out. God comes to us where we are as sinners. But once salvation has come, I believe we as believers ought to pursue a greater relationship with the Lord. We're told in James chapter 4 and verse number 8 that if we draw nigh to God, He will what? Draw nigh to us. I think about many times in our lives we forget to pursue our relationship with the Lord. As a husband, I am commanded to pursue my wife, to look after her, to maintain a relationship with her, to show her love and kindness and caring. We ought to do the same towards our Savior. We ought to be constantly pursuing
pursuing our Savior, our desire ought to be more to know more about Jesus. I say this afternoon, sometimes we need to be patient with our own selves, pursuing what we need to do in our lives concerning our sanctification, concerning our relationship with the Lord. If we're not careful, we get busy with family, we get busy with ministry, we get busy with work, and we fail to remember that we have a responsibility to pursue a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to pursue an understanding of what His will is for our lives, what His direction is for our lives, and what our service is to be for Him. And so I leave you with a thought this afternoon, constant in pursuit, constant pursuing sinners, constant in pursuing strays, and constant in pursuing the saints.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Doug, you ready?
Sure.
Amen. That's the big guys that I'm looking for.
First of all, I'd just like to say thank you for the birthday dinner. So, I want to encourage you today.
of sin out of the way so he can be close.
Yeah.
What an amazing Savior.
Amen.
He's so good.
Amen.
He's so good. He did all that. He came. He bled, he died, he rose again, all those things. Gave us the Holy Ghost right in here. I mean, last time I checked, you can't get no closer than right in here. So I want to encourage you today, stay close.
Amen.
Stay close, because it doesn't take much to get far off.
Amen. Good.
Amazing when you think about it, how God lines things up, and this is my personal devotion journal. And I don't, it doesn't leave the house, it stays at home, and this morning God moved my heart to do something out of it for Sunday school, and I don't think it's by accident, because the Lord gave me the opportunity this afternoon. So 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. This is where I've been lately in my devotions, is in Thessalonians. And this is, you know, feel different just because all of this in context. And here's some application. This is, you know, when you guys read the Bible, personal devotions, obviously it hits in context, but it hits home, and God sometimes applies things in different ways to where we can understand it. So I want you to understand that this is the Lord to me. So it is very personal, and I hope it's of help to you. But 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, if you look down verse number 7, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord." And, you know, Paul speaking to the church of Thessalonica, and just amazing thought to me when I got to this, and it said, "Brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction, all the things we've gone through, we were comforted by your faith." Man, by what you believed, by what you stood in, I was comforted. Man, they were comforted in something that that is personal. Faith is personal, is it not? The very faith that we have. And let me pray real quick. Lord, thank you for the day, Lord, the opportunity to preach. I pray, Lord, that you just help me. Holy Spirit, I need your guidance, your direction. I pray that you just touch my lips, Lord, that I say what you want me to say, and God, that it would be of help to someone here today. Lord, as you've helped me with it, God, I pray that you would just give us a wonderful rest of the afternoon. Thank you for what we've heard so far. God, I pray that you just help us to take these things with us, Lord, that are different. Pray that you just help us to take them and apply them and grow as Christians. God, pursue you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, comforted over you by your faith. And the Lord hit home to me and said, are other people comforted by your faith? What does your faith do for other people? Does it help them, or do we beat them over the head with it? I was telling the teenagers this morning when I, funny thing, Brother Thomas, I read out of 1 Thessalonians 5 this morning. And so I was going to go there this afternoon, and the Lord changed my direction. And it was funny that he did that. But I told my teenagers, Lord has convicted me lately of how I am at work. The way I look at and treat my coworkers, or just anybody that my boss allows to come in and help out in the shop. And, you know, there's one particular guy that's come around recently, and I told him, I was up front with the team, that, you know, I don't like him. I'll just be honest. I just don't care for him, the way his lifestyle, the way he is, the way he talks. It's just a little more crass, harsh, if you will. convicting that when I see the multitude, sometimes I don't have compassion. Your Christian flesh, if you will, stirs up, and you just get fleshly. You do, and you shouldn't. You know, Paul said the things that I should do, I don't. Things I would do, I should. I can't remember all that right now, but you get the point. He said the things I want to do, I can't, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And it's no different today, folks. I stand up here today, and I'm going to tell you that I do things I don't want to do, and there are things that I know I should do that I don't. And this is one of those things that, especially coming off of Brother O'Malley this past our missions conference and reaching people, I got convicted. I wanted to reach people. And then I go to work where, goodness gracious, it's just full of sinners. And what am I doing? In my own heart, I'm just ignoring them. I don't want to talk to them. I avoid them. Because I don't like them. But you know what? Having compassion. Man, Jesus had compassion. And I think to myself, man, when I go to work, I want to have compassion. I don't want to get angry. Man, they're just wicked guys. I'm sick of being around them. Sick of whatever place. Sick of this. Sick of that. You can get sick and tired of things, but they're still going to be there. Me acting like that is not changing anything. If anything, it's hindering my own spiritual growth. Who's comforted by your faith? How many people have you changed with your faith? For now, verse number 8 says, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." You know, as a preacher, as pastor standing here, I guarantee you, there's a liberation when his congregation follows in the preaching of God's word. It says, "For now we live." Freedom. Man, we can live. We live. We flourish. We love it. As long as you stand fast in Christ, in the Lord. As a preacher, it is an incredible feeling when someone under your preaching is saved or baptized. And it's obviously it's nothing that we do, but it's of the Lord. But it's an amazing feeling that the Lord uses us to do that. And it's a wonderful thing in the church. But again, going back to verse 7, it's got to happen out there. It's got to happen to the multitude as well. You know, we treat each other so well, and then we go out there and we treat them so bad. And again, I don't know if nobody else needed this, I needed a rehashing. Because this is personal, what the Lord's done in my heart. And it's hard. Sometimes your personal devotions are hard. God just walks all over you. He convicts you. That's the point. That is the point, to grow spiritually. And man, this just, it hit me hard, and I thought it might help you. If it didn't, it helped me again. But comfort others with your faith. What do other people get out of your faith? What does it do for them? Does it give them a desire to have the same faith you do? Or do they look at you and me and say, man, he's like this stuck-up guy who never talks to me, never barely looks at me, doesn't say a word. I don't want anything he's got. What is your faith done for someone else lately?
Amen. That old Pharisee of flesh likes to come up, ties up in his helmet. Like, sometimes we get saved and then we act like we have heart in it. Like, hey, I've arrived. I've done something. Good for me. I'm better than you.
lot of truth in that. Whether you amen or not, you know at home. We got saved, we sit a little bit higher on the horse. Like we, listen, I heard somebody say this, the only thing we contributed to salvation was the sin that made it necessary.
Yes,
amen. Brother Caleb, you ready?
Whatever happened to that? You know, that whole thing, Pastor brought it up before, was started.
show back up. What kind of testimony is that leaving for you, for God, for the church? So just three simple points right there. I hope that was a blessing to you.
Amen. Brother Travis, can, do you